My dear friends in Christ, this morning we're going to take a look at the Old Testament lesson, and it is related to the gospel lesson for today. And I'm just going to read a few selected verses. This is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. This is what Isaiah wrote. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Not so long ago, I actually read a little story that might be kind of humorous, but also has to deal with the subject of today. You see, it was Palm Sunday, and the youth group of the congregation, after they got approval, decided that they wanted to begin the service by reenacting the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. So as the service was ready to begin, all of a sudden there were teenagers running from the back, coming down into the church. Some were running from in the sides, and they were, you know, with the palm branches and with coats, and they were really excited and everything else. And then in the back, there was this voice that said, "The king is coming. The king is coming." And then the teenager said, "The king has come. The king is here. The son of David is here. Blessed be the name of the Lord." There were two boys, maybe 7 or 8 years old, sitting right in the front. Well, Carl, when he heard, "The king is now here," oh, he got really excited. And he actually stood up on the pew because he wanted to see. And he looked down to his friend and he said, "Did you hear that? The king is here. Elvis Presley is here. Can you believe it? Elvis Presley's at our church." His friend just looked at him and said, "You dummy, sit down. Elvis Presley isn't here. They're talking about Jesus." At which point, Carl sat down and said, "Oh, that's all we ever hear about. Why doesn't somebody famous come to our church?" You know, I have to say that in today's society, there are a lot of different responses that people give when they hear the name of Jesus. For example, you had Carl. His response was, "Oh, whoopee fizz." And that's probably due to the fact that in his mind, you know, Jesus was somebody that lived a long, long time ago, 2,000 years ago. He's not important anymore. There's a lot of other people that are important. I'm also going to tell you as well that there are those individuals who, when they hear the name of Jesus, show a great deal of disdain for Jesus. They become very disappointed with him. And they showed disdain because, you see, they thought of him as this earthly king. He was the one that was supposed to solve all their problems, give them the money that they needed to make the bills. On and on it goes. But he didn't deliver. That was it. There are others. When they hear that name, Jesus, boy, do they get angry. Because you see, they look at him as someone who did wrong to them. He took someone that was near and dear to them. He took a loved one from them. Especially if the loved one was young. And then there are those who look at Jesus and they just say that he's this great teacher, this great social reformer. And as such, we should just follow his teachings. We should be out there helping the poor, the oppressed, etc., etc. And I could just go on and on and on. I'm going to ask you, when you hear the name Jesus, how do you respond? You know, according to the scriptures, when you and I hear that name, Jesus, you and I should be filled with great joy. We should be giving him praise. We should be giving him thanksgiving. We should be willing to go and live our lives for him, to give our lives to him so that we can glorify his name. As a matter of fact, it's absolutely necessary because that becomes a witness of Christianity. But I'm going to tell you, there's no way in the world we're going to respond that way unless we know who Jesus is. We have to know who he really is. So who do you say Jesus is? I think it's rather interesting. Believe it or not, this answer is found in the gospel lesson for today. Because you see, Matthew actually points to the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote in our Old Testament lesson. Now, maybe when you were hearing that Old Testament lesson, you were scratching your head. What in the world does that mean? Sometimes I wonder what it means too. So please bear with me a little bit. You see, after Solomon, Israel became divided into two kingdoms. There was the southern kingdom, which was Judah, and there was the northern kingdom, which was Israel. Talked about Naphtali and Zebulun. Those were the tribes that were way up north, right on the northern edge of the northern kingdom. And when Isaiah was writing this, the people in the northern kingdom were oppressed. They were suffering. They were filled with great despair. And I honestly believed that there was a sense of hopelessness. Because you see, what had happened was that that powerful nation, the Assyrians, came down. And they took over the northern kingdom. And they took captive all of the residents, all of the people in that northern kingdom. They were held as slaves. They were treated extremely poorly. Many of them died. They suffered. And they turned to the Lord and they repented. But they were still stuck. But here, Isaiah says, and he's talking about the future. He's giving them hope. Because you see, he's telling them, hey, God's going to do something. God is going to come along, and you know what? He is going to take you and deliver you out of this darkness of this captivity. God, of course, is the light. Not only that, but he even goes on and he says that because the Assyrians treated you, my people, so so poorly, I'm going to destroy them all. And you know what? He did. In due time, he did. Now, what in the world does this have to do with Jesus? I think it's interesting. John the Baptist is in prison. So what does Jesus do? He goes north. North, up into that area where Naphtali and Zebulun was, the northern reaches of that old northern kingdom. Maybe to keep away from Herod. And he sets up base in this town called Capernaum. Okay? Actually, that's where he conducted most of his ministry. That was his home. It was called the Galilee of the Gentiles. It was filled with Jews and filled with Gentiles. This Jesus was fulfilling what Isaiah said was going to happen. Okay? Now, what in the world was going to happen? What was Jesus going to do? People were sitting in the darkness of captivity, slavery, sin. All of mankind, you and I, are captive to sin. We're slaves. And you talk about oppression? Man alive, doesn't that yoke of guilt sometimes just get so doggone heavy, you just feel like you're going to die? When things are just falling apart in your life, don't you feel like that yoke of worry and anxiety is just going to crush you? Don't you feel at times that the yoke of this idea that maybe God isn't with me, that maybe God doesn't love me, that he has abandoned me, maybe I'm not saved? Doesn't that just feel like you're just gonna... Yeah. Captivity. Sin. And ultimately death. Eternal death. Suffering. Complete separation from him. Forever and ever. That's the yoke that we carry. But lo and behold, remember, Jesus was the one who went up north. Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah 9. And so what is it that he is going to do? He is going to break that oppression. He is going to take and break the oppression of sin, the oppression of all the problems, the oppression of death once and for all. And he did it, didn't he? That's why he came into this world. That was his purpose, to go to that cross, to break and free us from sin, we, be as children, and inherit eternal life. Who is this Jesus? This Jesus is our Savior from sin and death and the devil. I'm going to conclude by saying this. We've got a lot of voices out there in this world today. They're telling us that Jesus is a lot of different things. I don't know how many of you have watched Unlocking the Secrets of the Bible. Good grief, what a mess that thing is. Because you see, Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. Jesus never did the miracles. Yeah, he died on the cross, maybe. But he certainly didn't rise again from the dead. Oh, you know, and then We have others that are out there and they're telling us, hey, this Jesus, you need money? Just pray about it. Oh, send me $500 too, okay? And pray about it. I'll give you back $5,000. Or this Jesus, you know what he teaches us? He teaches us to think positively. And if you think positively, everything in your life is going to go well. Or this Jesus is nothing more than a fruitcake, and you're nuts if you follow after him. It's easy to get confused. Remember who Jesus is. He is Lord. He is Savior. And as we realize that he has saved us from the most and worst enemies of all, we will praise him, thank him. There will be a motivation for us to follow him, to give our lives to him, to glorify him. And you know what? As we do so, we will be showing his light through our lives. We will be also fishers of men, as he has called us to be. Amen.